Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, September 18th, 2016. I am your host, Brother Ben, from the battlefield city of La Crosse, Wisconsin. Well, I am a little better. I feel still pretty sore in my back and my leg and my tush, but it's a little better. That's one thing I hate about this kind of stuff is it doesn't like to get healed relatively quick. It likes to take its sweet time. Very, 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 very slowly it gets better. It doesn't like to get better in a couple of days. It's annoying. I really don't like it, but you know, I'm confident God will help me through it. It just stinks that I thought I was getting better, and I'm not. But, you know, God will get me through it, and, you know, I think he's telling me certain things I gotta do, and I just gotta be confident in him and stay faithful to that. We're going to talk today about the book of Exodus. Today we're going to read Exodus chapters 9 through 12, at least as much of that as possible for our devotional today. So let's get right to that. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the donkeys, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall die nothing die of all that is of the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, to behold, there was not one of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the lands of Egypt. And they... And they took ashes out of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil, breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because the boils was upon the magicians and upon the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, the God of Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy hill, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause I have raised thee up, for to show thee in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout the earth. and yet, as yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man, upon beast, upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. All right, so pause for a second. These are the various plagues that I've just read are all plagues now that the Egyptian sorcerers are not able to not just replicate, but not able to defend against. You see, the first early plagues started out as being ones that the Egyptian magicians could replicate. And so that was in particular why Pharaoh had originally hardened his heart, because he's like, oh, I can do that too. They can do that too. So if they can do it too, then it's not really God who's doing this. It's him somehow kind of thing. It's trying to logically deny the power of God. In a stubborn and foolish way, excuse me. And now, just right before we did this devotional, we didn't have time to read the chapter 8, the last time we did Exodus, but at chapter 8, now they're starting to get plagues occurred to them that not even the Egyptian sorcerers could do. They said, our magic can't do this. This is beyond our ability. And now it's not just our magic can't do this. Now it's just we have no way to stop it. It's more powerful than anything we've ever seen before. The boils are even affecting the magicians personally. They have no defense against it. This is the first time it's noted in particular that it's affected the sorcerers directly. Almost like as though they were able to withstand the first few plagues, but now they can't. Even from those of you who are on the Facebook fan page of the show, you may have saw that there was a graph. Oops. That there was a graph that I had posted from another website, pointing out that some of these plagues were also, in addition to everything I said, not just a mockery of the Egyptian gods in question, but also these first early plagues were also affecting the Jews personally. And the reason why I feel that that's the case is so that everybody could understand what was going on. Everybody, including the Jewish people. That way they'd have no excuse at all whatsoever in regards to trying to deny everything. It's not a coincidence. Started out affecting them too, so that they would remember. But now it's only specifically affecting the Egyptians, and the Israelites are being spared of it. The idea of cattle being alive from the Israelite occupation, and the ones of Egyptian occupation dead. That's hard to do, especially because the way viruses and diseases are, you would think that it would affect all the cattle. But no, it's specifically the Egyptian cattle that dies and not the Jewish cattle. And likewise, in regards to the boils, it's only the Egyptians who have it, not the Jews. These are all things that are contrary to natural human logic. It's also a sign that God defies logic, human logic and reasoning. Scientifically, this is impossible, and that's the point. That's the point. Certain things in the Bible are scientifically impossible on purpose because God wants to show that he has sovereignty and he can make anything the way he wants it to be. And there are plenty of instances in Scripture where it's indeed supporting science. The only time I've noticed when it's not supporting science is when God is on purpose doing it that way, like with a miracle, or in this case, a curse. Other than that, every other instance when the Bible talks about something, it's in favor of science. You know, it talks about the earth being a round-like shape before people thought it was flat. And no, it wasn't Christians who said the world was flat. I think it was pagan people who said it first, and then it was the Catholics who started saying it. And Catholics, well, they were pretty backwards about their theology, really bad back in those days. And it was Christians like Galileo who said, the Bible says that the earth is round, in a round-like shape, and I'm seeing proof that it is with my observations here. Among the idea, like guys like Copernicus who said, the sun doesn't revolve around us, we revolve around it. And people thought that that was blasphemy. Perhaps back in the days of Moses, the Egyptians who saw Moses telling him to let my people go, maybe they thought he was being blasphemous too. Oh, that Moses is being ungrateful after all the years that he spent growing up in Pharaoh's household, being treated like a prince. How dare he deny those Egyptian gods that gave him prosperity, blah, blah, blah. And yet, here we are. Now we're about to have a hailstorm that's going to affect anybody who doesn't trust God. Basically, Moses warns, hey, if you trust the Lord, you will keep your cattle and your livestock and all that sheltered inside. You will not have them outside, or else the hailstorm will kill them. And it says in 20, he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. So now we're going to see what happens when even Egyptians are starting to trust what Moses says, and that some Egyptians, including Pharaoh himself, what happens when they don't take what God says seriously. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon every man, upon every beast, upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree in the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time, the Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there shall be no more mighty thundering and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bald. But the wheat and rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city and from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, and he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. End of chapter 9. So even with that, he lies and says, oh, I'll let you go if you stop the storm. And Moses is like, I'll stop the storm, but I know, I'm not that stupid, I know you're not going to let us go yet. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens. It's funny, you know, we have wicked enemies who act this way constantly. You know, we have enemies that we show kindness to. And what do they do in some cases? They don't give that kindness back. Instead, what they do is they almost have to feel like they punish you for it. And, you know, I've never understood why some people act that way. And part of it, I see, is pride. The idea of being embarrassed perhaps was a possibility in regards to Pharaoh getting, wanting to not really make a deal. Instead, he hardens his heart. Perhaps when the hail had stopped, Satan tempted them with an angry thought. He has embarrassed you. You need to look like a strong leader. You need to take these guys back where they belong. Make an example of them. End of chapter 9. Now we're going to go to chapter 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. And thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and all thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field, and they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, since neither they, thy fathers, nor thy fathers' fathers, have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went off from Pharaoh. All right, so pause for a second. Verse 1, I have hardened his heart. It's interesting what that could mean. My theory is that he simply allows Satan to tempt and push his decision a certain way. Hey, look, you need to squash this guy. You need to not let him make you look like a fool. You know, this is God allows Satan to tempt us in certain ways in order to bring about his will. I'm guessing the same thing in regards to Pharaoh. Even though it doesn't say that Satan is specifically whispering in his ear, I think it's very possible, especially because there are all these pagan gods. Maybe he could have easily have made himself appear as though he is one of these pagan gods, rather than actually being all, oh yes, I am Satan. I am the fallen angel that used to be in God's service, blah, blah, blah. I don't think the devil was saying that if he was even talking to Pharaoh. I think he was pretending to be one of the pagan gods. And I think that's entirely possible because, frankly, there are various groups out there that claim to have seen visions from these other gods in the past. In fact, the New Age movement talks about how they see visions of so-called ascended masters. So who's to say that that's not the case here? I think it's very well possible. But I digress. So now the next plague is going to be of locusts, okay? A lot of locusts. Thousands and thousands of locusts are going to be affecting Egypt right now. We'll have to see how this turns out. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, "How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet what Egypt is destroyed?" And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, "Go and serve the Lord your God, but who are they that shall go?" And Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old, and with our sons and with our daughters, and with our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." And he said unto them, "Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you." All right, so pause a second. John Wesley has a little quote here. "Let the Lord so be with you, as I will let you go and your little ones." He now curses and threatens them in case they offered to remove their little ones, telling them it was at their peril. Satan doth all he can to hinder those that serve God themselves from bringing their children in to serve him. He is a sworn enemy to early piety, knowing how destructive it is to the interests of his kingdom. You know, that's a very interesting choice of words there that John Wesley says, like as though he's implying that Satan's going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you cannot get your kids on board with serving the Lord. And I've seen that firsthand. You know, I've seen multiple things in regards to some of the children of this generation. The direction that we're in is a little scary to me, seeing how rebellious and how wicked some of these children are, and you know, the ones that are teenagers right now, and not all teenagers. There's some really good teens I've met, too. But I'm a little concerned about the way our generation is going, considering how common it is for me to run into a person of at least 10 years younger of me, of age, that doesn't believe in God. It's very common nowadays to be that way. And it's sad. I want my son to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and there's going to be a lot of things I've got to try to steer him away from that. And I, as his father, need to protect him from that, need to educate him on the truth. That's one reason why we have our Bible for ourselves, for our own personal home use. We're supposed to pass that on to people, especially our families. And that's why, in particular, Moses is saying that we need to have our younger people with us. "Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire." And they are driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Okay, so Pharaoh is trying to be like, no, you can't have everybody do this. You should only have the men do this. And this is partially because of what I said a moment ago, but it's also because it's strategy. They can't clearly leave like Moses has been advocating if the women and children are still there. In fact, the women and children could be used as a way of ransom by the Egyptian authorities if they so wanted to, if put in that predicament of a situation. "And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the very coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them such were there no such locusts as they, neither after them shall there be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was dark, and they did eat every herb
of the land and all the fruit of the trees which had hail left. And there remained not any green thing of the trees, nor or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive me, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away the sins of me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a mighty wind, strong west, which drove away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let the children go, the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be a darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be left, or may be felt. And Moses stretched out his hands toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his dwelling place. For 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, let your little ones go with you also. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us, there shall not be an hoof be left behind, for there must thereof take we take to serve the Lord and our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come further. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart that he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. End of chapter 10. This is very interesting. Multiple plagues. Moses tries talking Pharaoh out of it. And Pharaoh keeps making these half-hearted deals. And even with all this evidence, Pharaoh is allowing himself to listen to the counsel of Satan, allowing himself to be hardened by this, have his heart hardened. Again, similar thing with the cattle in regards to the fact that if the Israelites left the cattle there and just ran away after that, not only are they not committing the sacrifice that Moses said was needed, but at the same time, they also, if they just ran away simply outright, they'd be in the hot desert. There's hardly anything they could really tackle for a lot of food. So, it's a strategy in that, oh, well, you had your fun being free, now you got to come back and not be free. All right, we're going to read chapter 11, then we'll be out of time. We're not going to be able to read chapter 12. Chapter 11, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon of Egypt, and afterwards he will. And when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. So he won't just let them go lightly. He'll want you to get out like the house is on fire. Get out. The analogy I like to say. Speak now in the ears of the people. Let every man borrow from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in sight of the Pharaoh's servants, in sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out in the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth, the firstborn be the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there ever be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee. And after that I will go out. And he went from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron, did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. End of chapter 11. Moses was hoping, in a way, that this last plague was not going to happen, because how devastating it is. Nobody wants to see somebody, nobody in their right mind wants to see somebody suffer something so great. There are times when we'll even say, Lord, have compassion on that person, and the Lord says, I can't have compassion on that person, or else they won't see things the way they're meant to see things. And that's kind of what's going on here. We're going to read about the plague next time we do the book of Exodus, specifically the idea of the plague affecting all the children, firstborn children of Egypt, but not the firstborn children of Israel, and also the firstborn children of these Egyptian livestock that are still alive. How significant that is. Well, that's all the time we've got for today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow when we read from the book of 1 Samuel. We'll read 1 Samuel chapters 26 through 31, at least as much of that as possible. Hope you enjoyed this broadcast. God bless you, and thank you for listening.